The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 34, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadkikari, recorded on December 14th, 2009, in Pune, India.
So today, we are continuing in this ecstatic transcendental study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 9, Text Number 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rite ritang yat pratiyeta. Na pratiyeta chatmani. Tad vidyadatmano mayam. Yatha baso yatha tamaha Ritair tang yat pratiyeta Na pratiyeta chatmani Tad vidyadatmano mayam Yatha baso yatha tamaha. Translation. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Though it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So we're continuing on. I'm not going to do the whole purport. We can continue tomorrow. I just have a few minutes to speak, so I'll read one or two paragraphs and then we'll lecture on it. Beginning in the middle of page 546, persons with a poor fund of knowledge become illusioned, and therefore the so-called scientists, physiologists, empiric philosophers, etc., become dazzled by the glaring reflection of the sun, moon, electricity, etc., and deny the existence of the Supreme Lord, putting forward theories and different speculations about the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of everything material. The medical practitioner may deny the existence of the soul in the physiological body, bodily construction of an individual person. But he cannot give life to a dead body, even though all the mechanisms of the body exist even after death. The psychologist makes a serious study of the physiological conditions of the brain as if the construction of the cerebral lump were the machine of the functioning mind, but in the dead body, the psychologist cannot bring back the functions of the mind. These scientific studies of the cosmic manifestation or the bodily construction independent of the Supreme Lord are different reflective intellectual gymnastics only, but at the end they are all an illusion and nothing more. All such advancement of science and knowledge in the present context of material civilization is but an action of the covering influence of the illusory energy. The illusory energy has two phases of existence, namely the covering influence and the throwing influence. By the throwing influence, the illusory energy throws the living entities into the darkness of ignorance. And by the covering influence, she covers the eyes of men with a poor fund of knowledge about the existence of the Supreme Person who enlightened the Supreme Individual Living Being, Brahma. The identity of Brahma with the Supreme Lord is never claimed herein, and therefore such a foolish claim of the man with a poor fund of knowledge is another display of the illusory energy of the Lord. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 16:18-20, that demoniac persons who deny the existence of the Lord are thrown more and more into the darkness of ignorance, and thus such demoniac persons transmigrate life after life without any knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagraja Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tamsiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvita So, the present civilization is going on the strength of the philosophical basis of modern science. Actually, that is their philosophical basis. Therefore, the whole society is going crazy. What is the basic premise of this empirical science? The basic premise is this: unless something is empirically verifiable, it has no objective reality. This is the basis of their modern science. Unless something is empirically verifiable, it has no objective reality. But I ask you this: is that premise empirically verifiable? No, it's not. That premise on which science is based is not empirically verifiable. Therefore, the whole thing is built on quicksand, you see. Very shaky foundation. So therefore, science is not really scientific. Science means to know things as they are. That is science. They accuse the devotees of blind faith. You're putting your blind faith in some doctrine or some teacher who's saying this and that. But actually, it is not blind faith. Because through this process, just like in the chemistry course, in the lecture, the professor will tell you H2O equals water. And you can go to the laboratory, you can confirm that yourself in the test tube. I did it when I was in high school. I took the two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen, and lo and behold, there in my test tube was water. Wow, this is great. It's really true. H2O equals water. It's empirically verifiable. So, at least some of science is empirically verifiable. But no, when they talk about the origin of the universe, you see, they're going beyond their scope. Because they're expert at combining two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen to get water, now they want us to believe that they understand the origin of the universe. You see. Because they can, you know, manufacture a high-tech MP3 recorder, they want us to believe that they know the origin of the universe. You see. This is not very good. not very good thing. So anyway, and taking that example, that H2O equals water, which you can verify yourself in the laboratory, Krishna consciousness is also verifiable, empirically verifiable. We tell you that if you will surrender to Krishna, if you develop love of God, you will see God face to face. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang sham shundar machinya gunas rupam govindam adi purusham tamam vachani. We are telling you that if you perform this experiment in the laboratory of your consciousness, the laboratory of your heart, if you will surrender yourself unto Krishna through the medium of the bona fide spiritual master, in the association of the Vaishnavas, being guided by the laboratory manuals known as the Shastras, then just as you got water in the test tube, you will directly see God. So you will meet Krishna face to face, face to face. You will come in direct contact with that person who is the origin of all existence. So this is not blind faith. We have the laboratory manual, and we give you all the ingredients necessary to do the experiment. So we give you the holy name, Prasadam, deities, Vaishnava association. We give you everything you need to perform this experiment successfully and see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. So that is real science, you see, to know things as they are. When you can see God directly face to face, that is real science. Then you will know the origin of the universe because you have met Him. Instead of speculating, well, there was a chunk. And it exploded. Is that a very logical thing? Just like this nice temple room, you see. If I told you that all the building materials are placed in some stack here, the bags of cement, you know, these different tiles, the wires, the fans, it was put in a stack somewhere and somebody threw a stick of dynamite in it and then this temple came out of the explosion. You'd think I was crazy, isn't it? Sankarsana Prabhu has gone mad, you see. So how they expect us to believe this wonderfully constructed universe with all the seasons, with so many varieties of fruits and flowers, you see. It's just by some explosion of a big chunk. It's ridiculous. Absolutely asinine view of reality, you see. The scientists have a motive. They want to kill God so they can take His position, you see. That's all. They're motivated. They want to kill God so they can be God. But God is a more powerful killer than they are. So in the end, God will not be killed, but they will be killed. You see. Krishna wants to kill you, nobody can protect you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. You see. So they will all be killed by Krishna, directly or indirectly. Those who defy the existence of God, they will bow down to God by force at the time of death. But we bow down voluntarily now. You see. We get a better deal. By voluntarily giving up our animosity toward the Supreme and surrendering to Him. Now, all right, I volunteer to surrender to you. Then Krishna gives us special blessing, special mercy, so that we can become one of His associates and enjoy His transcendental pastimes in the spiritual sky. And it's so nice thing, this Krishna consciousness movement, we can even enjoy here, you see. These are the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, the pastimes of Prabhupada. This ISKCON is Prabhupada's Leela, you see. We are all participating in Prabhupada Leela. It's not that Prabhupada Leela means that Prabhupada has to be physically present. Even when Prabhupada was here on the planet, he rarely came to our temple. Actually, he never came to our temple. In Austin, we had a temple, he never came. He offered to come, but our temple president was too nervous, so I'm afraid I committed offense. It was a stupid thing, but what can I say? Prabhupada wrote me a letter offering to come to our temple. The temple president said, no, no, no. He was scared I'd invite Prabhupada to come. That was a big mistake. But anyway, that was, even whether Prabhupada was physically there or Prabhupada was, you know, in Los Angeles or India. It's Prabhupada's pastimes going on, you see. So it's still Prabhupada's Leela going on. This temple here is one of the pastimes of Prabhupada. And we get to participate in this wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. I'm making a wonderful, wonderful temple here, making so many followers for his Prabhupada movement, you see. It's the greatest opportunity that we can please Srila Prabhupada. Our sincere desire to satisfy him. In this way, we can develop spontaneous love for Krishna. What does Prabhupada say? If you love me, love my dog. So Krishna is God, and the spiritual master, he is the dog of God. So if you can love Srila Prabhupada, if you can love your spiritual master, you see, then that helps you develop love for Krishna, because they are the manifestations of Krishna. If we can develop our love for Guru, that love will be automatically transferred to Krishna. So we've been talking lately a lot about love. It's the most important thing. But love in this material world, you see, is in a perverted form. It is lust. Actually, this material lust is nothing but pure love in contact with the material mode of passion. Just like you take milk, and you bring it into the contact of sour tamarind, and it becomes yogurt. It's nothing but milk transformed. So actually the lust that we see in this material world is actually nothing but pure love of God in a transformed state. So all we have to do is help people to, you know, purify. The love of God is there in everyone. The tendency to love God is there in everyone, even the atheist. We simply have to help them, be very kind to them, be very loving to them. If they can feel our love, if they can feel the Vaishnava's love, you see, this will inspire them, because in this material world there is no such thing as love. Who genuinely loves us? People are saying, I love you, but they want to get something out of us, you see. The Vaishnava, only the Vaishnava can genuinely love. Because he has nothing to take. He has nothing to exploit this person for. He simply wants to give to them supreme benediction. So if we can receive the loving mercy of the Vaishnavas, you see, and we can develop that same mood by the power of association, sangat sanjayate kama, one's consciousness is developed according to one's company. If we associate with persons who are giving love, giving love, giving love, you see, genuine love, Krishna conscious love, then that tendency within our hearts, which is dormant, it's already there, it's just sleeping right now, that tendency to purely love, that will become awakened. And we become free of all distress, all anxiety. We'll be living in the spiritual world. Even while we're rocking around Pune. Because we'll see everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. Yomang pashati sarvatra sarvam shamayi pashyati tashyaham na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 30. From one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. How do you develop that vision? By austerities? No. By love. That's how you develop that vision. When you love Krishna, you will see Krishna everywhere. It's a simple thing. The more you love Krishna, bhakti pareshanu bhavavaraktir, the more you love Krishna, you will see Krishna. That's described in the Bhagavatam. Bhakti pareshanu. Whatever extent you develop your love for Krishna, to that extent you will perceive Krishna in everything. So, therefore, we have to learn how to love Krishna. He's a person. He's so kind, he will accept our simple offering. Patram pushpam palam tayam yome bhakti prayachati tadahang bhakti praharishnam asnami prayatatmanaha. If you will offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, food or water, I will accept it. But what if I have no love and devotion? I shouldn't offer? Krishna says with love and devotion, so I don't have any, so I won't offer it. I just eat bhoga. There's an interesting story in this connection. My godbrother Gargamuni Prabhu, he was a young brahmachari of 26 Second Avenue. Prabhupada would come down from his apartment to the storefront. He'd come down the stairs and come across the little courtyard into the storefront. And everybody would bow down. Oh, Swamiji has come. Our obeisances. The Gargamuni would sit there. He would not offer obeisances. And during the question and answers, he raised his hand and he says, Swamiji, when you enter the room, everyone bows down, but I do not bow down because for me it doesn't feel natural. Is that all right? Prabhupada said, you should bow down. And by doing so, the natural feeling will come. So don't think, well, I have no love for Krishna, therefore I won't offer it. It won't be artificial, I'll just eat bhoga. No, you offer. That is called sadhana bhakti. Even though the spontaneous love isn't there, out of duty, I do it. Sadhana bhakti. But if I remain fixed in sadhana, gradually it will transform into raganuga, you see. If I'm regulated, very nicely regulated, day in and day out, to always be absorbed in sadhana. Actually, Prabhupada gave us credit for our sadhana bhakti. He said, actually, you love Krishna. You're not being paid to do this. Actually, you do love Krishna. You're doing it. You're not doing it for pay, therefore it must be out of love. Prabhupada gave us credit for doing this Krishna conscious movement out of love. He gave us that credit, you see. Of course, on our side, we think, I don't have love. I'm trying to get it. But Prabhupada said, oh, these boys and girls, they have love. That's why they're doing it without any pay. All this service for me and for Krishna, you see. So, in this way, you see, we should not be misled by these rascal so-called scientists. We should understand who are the real scientists. Vedavyas, Asita, Devala, Arjuna, you see. Who are the real scientists? We should follow the pathway of the real scientists, and that way we'll become free from all of the nightmarish conditions of material consciousness. So we have a few minutes left, about 12 minutes, 11 and a half minutes. So I can ask if there's any questions. I've been given an extra 10 minutes. Oh, that's very good. I'm happy. But there has to be questions. Okay, good. Okay, good. Here we go. All right. It is mentioned that not everything exists. That's it. It is mentioned that everything exists has no value without Krishna. So what is Maya really? Is in that sense, whether Maya exists, please clarify, enlighten me by removing my doubt. Yeah. Actually, without Krishna, there's no value. Prabhupada was riding in the car through New York City. At that time, the tallest building, I think it's now maybe the tallest building again after the World Trade Centers were knocked down by the terrorists, but the Empire State Building in New York City, very tall building, famous building, the Empire State Building. Now, Prabhupada was coming through New York, he was saying so many zeros, Empire State Building, zero, this thing, zero, you know, there's so many things, Brooklyn Bridge, United Nations 00000. But if you put a, you take a big, huge row of zeros, you see, like you take six zeros and put a one in front of it, what is that? 1 million. Nine zeros, 1 billion. So all you have to do is add one thing to those zeros, it becomes a humongous number. So all the zeros of this material world, it's a huge, long string of zeros, becomes an inconceivably valuable number when you add one to the left end of that row of numbers, of zeros, you see. So without Krishna, everything is absolutely, completely valueless. But when you add Krishna, then everything becomes, it becomes unlimitedly valuable, actually. So does that help whoever asked the question? Is that your question? Did that answer your question? Some will have to repeat. Someone can repeat to me what he's saying.
He's telling everything is coming from Krishna, so everything is absolute truth. Then what is Maya?
Actually, Maya is simply your misperception. Prabhupada explains actually everything is spiritual energy, everything. But it becomes material when we use it for sense gratification. The original nature of everything is spiritual. It's all Krishna's energy, everything. It's only when we misuse for our sense enjoyment it becomes material. But other, if you engage it in Krishna's service, it is spiritual. Just like when our Jayananda Prabhu built the Ratha Yatra car. Those were ordinary material, building materials, you see, from the hardware store. Some wood, some nails, you see. But when it was built and made a cart for Lord Jagannath, what did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada offered his obeisances to the cart. Prabhupada got down on the ground in the San Francisco soil, you see, in the some vacant lot in San Francisco, and offered his dandavat to that Ratha Yatra car. So everything is actually spiritual energy, but when we use it for sense gratification, it becomes material. But when you re-engage it in Krishna's service, it regains its original spiritual nature. Next question. All right. How do you get the inspiration to travel all over the world and preach? Well, actually, there's so much nectar, to be honest, there's so much nectar in that I taste by doing this that I'm addicted to it. And sometimes I think I'm foolish to do it because it sometimes causes me health problems. Sometimes I think I should just stop this traveling and stay in at my home base in Austin, Texas and not travel anymore. Sometimes I think, but I just keep doing it because there's so much nectar in preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. There's just so much nectar. Because I'm getting taste from it, that's how. The fact that you all are listening so nicely, you see, that's very inspiring for me. Yours, by your association, I'm inspired, let's put it that way. Your eager hearing is inspiring me to come here and preach. That's the reality. Okay. As enthusiasm is important in bhakti, one, over the period of performing bhakti, one becomes familiar. Is it not maintained? What is the element one should cultivate to get it? Well, as I explained yesterday, for me, enthusiasm, I got a direct order from Srila Prabhupada to always be enthusiastic, and that way I would get Krishna's blessings. So for me, I just somehow, you know, through all the ups and downs, the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly, I just keep pushing forward because I know that if I serve Prabhupada's order to always be enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness, and under all circumstances, that I will be blessed by Krishna. So for me, it's right there it's a matter of being faithful to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. It's having faith in his words. In other words, faith is the foundation of enthusiasm. If you have faith, you can keep your enthusiasm under all circumstances. And so how does one have faith? Well, sometimes doubts come into the mind. You know them. You know them? Sometimes we have doubts. Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles. He said, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe. Prabhupada knew the doubts in the minds of his disciples. So how do we get over these doubts? Well, one thing is just like Arjuna prayed, my dear Madhusudana. You see, we can beg Krishna. My dear Lord, these doubts are demons. Please remove all the doubts from my heart. Please, Krishna, please. That's one way. And the other is you can study great personalities like Srila Prabhupada. And you can understand this has to be real. Nobody could do what he did or speak the philosophy that he spoke if this wasn't real. It couldn't be word jugglery. It's just too advanced to be word jugglery. In sadhana bhakti, how much proportion should be given to direct hearing and chanting of Krishna's name, fame and glories, doing practical service like management, cleaning temple premises, organizing programs, etc.? You have to have a good program of hearing and chanting every day, because otherwise your service will become rajasic and you'll go away. Hearing and chanting means you're cultivating sattva gun, which gradually morphs into shuddha sattva, pure bhakti. So you want to put yourself in this mood of pure bhakti and then go forward and do service in that same mood of pure bhakti. That's the key. They work together. It's not that there's a dichotomy between hearing and chanting and service. They work together. I remember, distinctly remember when I was a young brahmachari, it was really funny in one sense. I was serving nicely and very, very much appreciated doing service in our Atlanta temple. And then the GBC said, well, we'd like to send you to Houston to be the vice president. So I headed out, I'm moving up the ISKCON ladder from assistant bhakti leader to vice president. I was thinking, this is great. A little proud, you know. It's funny what happened. Actually, the temple president found someone else to be the vice president, but he didn't say anything. So when I got there, the cook, his name was Krishnamurti Prabhu, my godbrother, he invited me to the kitchen. He said, here's your spoons, here's your pots, here's your spices, Haribo, I'm going to Miami. Now, they made me the cook instead of the vice president. And it was intense because it was a Sankirtan temple. Everybody went on Sankirtan every day except for me. I had to run the whole temple. I had to offer every artik, had to cook all the offerings, make the deity sweets, answer the phone, answer the door. I mean, it was so intense, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was like unbelievably intense. I remember one time I had made the offering and I had to pass stool before the artik. Can you imagine? You make the offering and nature calls. I had to pass stool before the artik. I had like 7 minutes to run upstairs, take care of the body, take a shower, put on tilak, get dressed, put on the tilak, and come down in time for the artik. And I did it. I made it in 7 minutes. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know? So, it was really, really intense. And I was thinking, I want to read, you know. I want to be able to sit down and read the books, but there's no time. And it was like, but I can tell you this, there was, we had a, in those days it was cassette players, cassettes, not the MP3s, you know. So there was a cassette player there, a little amplifier, you know, and two or three cassettes. And I heard, actually there was one cassette. And for a whole year, I listened to that one lecture. There was two lectures, back and front. The opening of the Hyderabad temple. I heard those lectures again and again and again. And while I was doing all this intense service, I would hear these lectures. And it was so powerful. Going deeper and deeper and deeper into Prabhupada's teachings, you see. And I remember he was saying on those tapes or somewhere else at that time, I noted, Prabhupada said you should always be engaged in doing service. And then he said, and you should always be studying. I was going, well, how you can do both? But I realized how you can do both. Just like in a chemistry course, you see, you have the lab and you have the lecture. If you have only lab or only lecture, the chemistry course is incomplete. You have to do both things. So, reading the books, that's the lecture, and doing the service, that's the lab. So when you go to the lab, you're actually putting into practice what you read in the books and seeing practically how it is a fact. By surrendering to Krishna, how you taste transcendental bliss, how you become free from the influence of the modes of nature. We study these things, and then when you actually do the service, it reconfirms what you're reading. And you get deeper realizations about your readings while you're doing the service. So actually these things go, you can study 24 hours a day. You just have to develop shastric vision. See everything through the eyes of the shastra, whatever you're doing. If I'm cleaning the floor, I have to see through the eyes of the shastra. As Prabhupada said, cleaning the temple means cleaning your heart. I have to see everything through the eyes of shastra. And then I'll never become disturbed. So we have to develop that shastric vision. And that will make us very balanced, you see, very well balanced. Whether I'm managing, whether I'm selling books, whether I'm doing organizing programs, whatever it may be. It should all be in the mood of analyzing the Vaishnava Siddhanta in practical action. With so many challenges from within and without, how do you become focused in practice of Krishna consciousness? Well, Prabhus and Manajis, it's a war. It's a war. We're fighting a war with the material nature. So we have no choice but to be focused. We have no choice. It's do or die. If we don't stay focused on Krishna consciousness, Maya is waiting. Yes, my dear boy, come. Put your head in my lap, my dear boy. Then slash our throat with a razor blade, you see. Maya is waiting. As soon as there is inattention in service, she is waiting. So right now, we're not on the level of spontaneous love. We have to understand it's a matter of do or die. Survive or perish. Therefore, we have to stay focused. So the material nature doesn't capture us. And by doing that dedicated, focused service, understanding fully well that I have to do this to survive spiritually, then gradually, you see, the spontaneous feelings will come and we'll feel love for Krishna. Genuine love for Krishna will awaken in our hearts. That will happen. We have to be patient. It comes gradually, just like the sun rising in the early morning. It doesn't all of a sudden go from night to day. It's just a gradual thing, a little bit light. You see, 99% sadhana mood, 1% is spontaneous mood. And then 98% sadhana mood, 2% spontaneous. And gradually this way, we gradually transform into spontaneous love if we stay and we don't fall back by breaking the principles. You see. Keep doing your sadhana. Gradually will transform into spontaneous love. Prabhuji, can you kindly share some of your interactions with His Grace Jayananda Prabhu? I had very little interaction, but of course it was a great treasure for me. Actually, it was by the grace of Jayananda Prabhu I got my first darshan of Prabhupada. So I'm very indebted to His Grace Shriman Sripad Jayananda Thakur, because it's by His grace I first got to see Prabhupada. What happened was, you know, we were there at the temple. We came from all over America to San Francisco for the Rath Yatra, the summer of 71. And they said, oh, we need some volunteers up at the Rath Yatra site to help Jayananda. So that sounded pretty good. I went up there. And I didn't really get started yet in doing anything, but then someone said, oh, Prabhupada's arriving at the airport right now. I went, oh my God, I've never seen Prabhupada. He's arriving at the airport. It was tearing my heart apart. I want to... And they said, this van is leaving for the airport right now. Can you imagine if someone said that Prabhupada's arriving in the airport and you hop in this van and you can see Prabhupada? Wouldn't you want to get in that van? I really wanted to get in that van, but I'd already volunteered to help Jayananda. So what to do? I couldn't just get in the van. That'd be, you know, breaking my word. And I'm going to help Jayananda. So I asked Jayananda. I said, Prabhu, I've never seen Prabhupada ever before. Can I go to the airport? He said, yes. He looked around to make sure he had enough men. He said, yes, go. He blessed me to go and have Prabhupada's darshan. So I'm very indebted to Jayananda Thakur, because he, by his grace, I had my first darshan of Srila Prabhupada. And I remember, actually, he was very much revered by the devotees. He didn't have any big position. He was a sannyasi. He didn't have any big name or big position, but he was so much revered by everyone, you see. Everyone knew he's a very special person. You see. Everyone knew Jayananda is a very special person. I remember... As we were leaving to go back to Texas. We were out there on the... And Jayananda somehow was out there. As we were pulling off from the... And I got down to the street and offered my obeisances to him. The busy San Francisco street. Right out in the street, I offered my obeisances on the cement. He got down and paid it back to me. He was such a humble, wonderful devotee. Of course, there's many stories that have been written about him. But these are my own personal experiences. When we have... hectic schedule for service, how to maintain Krishna consciousness and longing for more service. Yeah, when I was there in Houston, it was so hectic. I remember one day I wanted to mail a letter and the mailbox was two blocks away and I was amazed. I had somehow juggled my schedule. I was able to walk two blocks to the post office, take 10 minutes out of my schedule to get over to the post box to mail the letter. I couldn't believe I did it. That's how intense it was. I mean, it was really, really intense. So how do you keep your consciousness? You have to do, the best thing is do a lot of praying. Prayer works. Krishna can hear all your prayers. You see, your spiritual master, he will receive your... You can pray directly to your spiritual master, your Diksha Guru. He will accept your prayers. You can pray to Srila Prabhupada, you see. You can pray to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya. You can pray to Radharani, you see. You can pray to these, to Gaurinitai. You can beg these great personalities to help you. My dear Srila Prabhupada, or my dear spiritual master, such and such. You see, my schedule is so hectic, I'm having great difficulty maintaining my enthusiasm. Please bless me, I can maintain my enthusiasm in the midst of all this service. If we beg for that mercy, the mercy will be given. How do you develop a taste for reading the Bhagavatam? By preaching the Bhagavatam. That's how I've developed it. Well, desire to preach... Studying the Bhagavatam with a desire to preach and my preaching. Actually, there's nothing, the Bhagavatam is so sweet, it's just oozing with unlimited oceans of nectar, like the ultimate gulab jamun, you know. Unlimited oceans of nectar emanating from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every shloka is unlimitedly oozing oceans of nectar. We just have to learn how to connect with that nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we do so, we will no longer be attracted to sex life. This is the higher tiff, you see. So our time has now run out. We have exactly 8 seconds. Gantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam. All right, we'll squeeze this last one in. Sometimes material desires disturb my mind, wondering, so how? It's easy. You just say, my dear Krishna, please bless me. These material desires will go away, you see. You know, I'm thinking of some beautiful girl I used to know. I'm thinking, oh, I could have sex with her. You know, the mind may start contemplating so many things, you see. So one has to realize that these things are my enemy and beg Krishna for his help. My dear Lord, please let my mind just be fully absorbed in thoughts of you 24/7 with no deviation. You see, Krishna, prayer is very effective and very powerful. And if you will dive deeply into the chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, you will get beyond the influence of the modes of nature, which is what pulls the mind away from Krishna. Just like you go deep into the ocean, on the surface of the ocean, there's a hurricane blowing, you see, very turbulent. But you dive deep into that ocean, the deeper you go, the less turbulence, until finally you get so deep, there's zero influence of that hurricane. So we have to learn how to go deep, deep, deep into the ocean of the Namamrita Sindhu, you see, the ocean of the nectar of the name. Deep, deep, deep into that ocean. And then we will, the material nature will just bounce right off, you see. Maya won't be able to phase us. Just laugh at Maya. Maya, you think you can get me? No way, Krishna is, give me this higher taste. Previously, I would have been I was your dancing dog, but now I'm no longer. I'm dancing to the beat of a different drum now, Maya Devi. Sorry, you know. It's like Maya. It's like when Maya comes to the hotel of your heart looking for a room to check in. There'll be a sign: no vacancy. My heart's filled up with Krishna. Krishna, Krishna consciousness. You see, I have my heart so full of Krishna, there's no room for you, Maya. I'm sorry. You'll have to go next door. Maybe they have room at their hotel. Mine is all booked up. Every room has Krishna. Okay, we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Isgrahe
Sankarsan Prabhu ki jai.